talk this morning about what it means to be a man. It is Father's Day, but not everyone in this room is a father. But I think this morning it's important to talk about what it means to be a man. You know, I think in our culture in these days, there's a lot of people that struggle with that, and there's lots of confusion around that subject. So I'm going to primarily be talking to the men here, or the teens, but ladies, you can listen. It's okay. You don't have to leave. You can listen in, and certainly, hopefully, it gives you something to pray about for the men in your lives. But this morning, you know, if you think about our culture and all of the images and all of the ideas of what it means to be a man, I don't know if there's ever been a time when there's so much confusion as to what that really looks like and what that really means. It seems to me that things used to be a lot simpler as far as what, you know, your image, your model of what a man should be and do. A lot of what we picture of what a man is shaped by media. That's the way our culture is today. And so, but there's all sorts of contradictory pictures, images of what that means. And so there's sort of the stereotypical manly man, you know. I was thinking of the image that I have in my mind is, you know, there's not very many people that can go around with a name like The Rock and feel comfortable with that. But there is, I think his name's Dwayne Johnson. I don't know much about him, but he used to be a wrestler. Now he's an actor. I'm not sure if he's a great actor. Never seen him in anything. But you know, he's just, you know, chiseled features. You know, he's built, and you know, he's just this guy that men and women admire, and he's just kind of a man's man. You know, a man of action, a man who takes charge, and you know, he when he's in a situation somebody needs to step in, he's the guy. He's the guy that you want to have there, right? And so it's one of, I don't know how many versions of Fast and Furious there's been. One's faster and more furious than the next, and you know, it's just these kind of movies that are all about guns and cars and explosions and all of that kind of stuff. So this is a man's man, apparently, according to the world. Or there's another image, which is kind of like Homer Simpson, right? It's the guy that sits on the couch and he eats chips all day and he watches sports and he drinks beer and he's kind of a slob and you know, he just kind of lives for himself and he's very self-focused. And there's another image of a man, you know, in the culture, popular culture today. If you watch advertising for very long, you'll often see men in advertisements who are weak, who are kind of stupid. They're sort of clueless. They really don't know what's going on half the time, right? And so their wives or their kids usually have to correct them and tell them really what's happening here. And you know, dear old dad, you know, just quite can't quite get a handle on, grip on life. You know, we're just useless. You know, we're kind of there, but we're not sure what we're for. And, you know, we need people to come alongside us and clue us in, right? Because we just don't quite catch it all. So there's images like that. There's also images of men that focus around violence and exploitation of women. And those images really are based on real things, right? One of the things that often has troubled me, and there was a mass murder that happened a number of years back at École Polytechnique in, I think it's in Quebec, in Montreal, was it? Mark Lapine was the guy who did it. And so every year after that, and it's been more than a decade, I think, people remember that and they march in remembrance of that. It was a terrible thing. It was an awful thing. He was a very disturbed person. But I think sometimes in our culture, that message of men as being violent and abusers and manipulators has been generalized. I used to, you know, watch things on TV and you'd see a character, a woman who, you know, loved her son. And I thought, boy, you know, that's really nice. They actually like us. You know, women can actually like us because you begin to internalize as a man those kinds of images of what men are like. You know, we're always out for one thing and we only have one thing on our mind and we're violent and we just want to get what we want to get. And there are men like that, right? But we're not all like that. And so it's a dangerous thing when we begin to live up to the stereotypes of what men are like. And so this past week we had some pictures of young men going on a rampage, right? There were some young ladies there too. But mostly the focus was on the young men, you know, smashing windows or turning over cars, setting them on fire. And so you see young men who are angry. They're most of them privileged young men, and yet they're feeling lost. For some reason, they feel the need to destroy things. We're not sure exactly why that is. But I think there is lots of confusion around what it means to be a man. And one of the things, I just want to talk very simply to you this morning about some things that, some images of in Scripture of what it means to be a man. Last week I put a question to a number of you on Facebook about what you felt like a man was. You know, what are your models of men? And some of you answered, you know, about stories of men in your life that have modeled what it meant to be a father, what it meant to be a Christian man, and that you looked up to those models and you've tried to pattern your life after them. Some of you mentioned the fact that being a man is more than just kind of getting a paycheck and putting food on the table. That being a man involves caring for your children, caring for your wife, investing in other people, sacrificing for them. Things like that. You talked about the fact that being a man means being strong. But there is a kind of strength that comes from surrender, right? There's a kind of strength that comes from trusting in God. There's a kind of strength that comes from admitting that we don't have it all together and we can't do everything. We're not like the rock, you know, with all the muscles and all the ability, and we can solve every situation that we come across. We are weak in many times. But yet, when we come and we surrender before God, God fills us and He strengthens us. So that's what being a man is all about. So some great answers that that you guys gave. But all of this, you know, if we can kind of get beyond the stereotypes of what a man is or isn't, and we can go beyond the surface and the outward things that we tend to associate with manhood and begin to go into the inside and say, you know, what really are the character qualities of being a man? And then we begin to talk about things like loyalty and faithfulness. And we talk about things like sacrifice. And we talk about things of being trustworthy and learning how to love and learning how to put others' needs before yourself. And we're going to look at a few of those. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 to 14. Two very short verses, a number of really short phrases, but I think they can tell us a lot about what it means to be a man. Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. Comes at the end of a book addressed to a people who weren't always known as the most godly people in the world. They didn't always have their spiritual act together. They lived in a city that was very ungodly, that was characterized by all sorts of things that certainly weren't part of what it meant to be a Christian man or woman. So it's at the very end of this letter to the people at Corinth that Paul writes this very short verses, these two verses, very much to the point. And I think that's just the way, you know, we should talk to men. You know, when I get on the phone and I want to make a call, I just want to get the message across and get off the phone, right? So it can take 15 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute at the most. I don't really get on the phone to have a conversation. I want to get my information. I don't know, I think that's kind of a man thing, right? I don't want to have a long conversation about stuff. I just want to do what I want to get done, get the message across, and get on with things. And so Paul, I think, is saying, you know, we've talked a lot about a lot of things. Some of it is correction. Some of it is teaching. Some of it is encouragement. But here's the bottom line. You know, here's what I want you to hear. And so he says this, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Okay, very short and pithy, right to the point, fairly straightforward. And one of the things in this version, it says, men be men of courage. And really, the literal translation of that is act like a man. That's literally. I mean, this can be applied to women too, right? But basically, it's act like a man. And when I first read that scripture in the version that uses that phrase, you know, the image that came to my mind was, you know, when a little boy falls on the ground, skins his knee, and starts to cry, right? And dad grabs his hand and yanks him up and says, stop crying, act like a man. You know, that's just, you know, just suck it in. Suck it up, be a man, Do what you're supposed to do, don't cry. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't think that's what Paul is talking about either when he says act like a man. It's not about stuffing down the hurt and the pain. It's not about pretending that we are something that we aren't. But there are certain things that should characterize a man. We are different, right? I mean, beyond the obvious stuff that we can see, men and women are different. You know, that sounds so self-evident, but in our culture, we're not sure really whether it's true or not. There is a couple in Toronto, you may have read this story in the Toronto Star a few weeks ago, who have, I think, three kids, little kids, and they're raising their baby called Storm to be, they're not telling anybody whether it's a boy or a girl. It's a secret. Even to the grandparents, it's a secret. So this child is either a boy or a girl. This child has a gender. It's not ambiguous, you know, but they're not telling anybody. It's a big secret because they don't want the culture around them to squeeze this boy or girl into its mold of what it means to be a boy or a girl. And so it's a very deep, dark secret, and they're not telling anyone, even the closest relatives. The only ones that know are the couple and the siblings. Now, I can see some of the reasons for that because there are some stereotypical ideas of what it means to be a man or a woman that maybe aren't really what it means to be a man or a woman. But I think it's very confused, and it portrays the sense of, you know, we're not really sure whether we're comfortable in being a man or being a woman. We're not sure if we're really okay with that, how God has made us. And it is something that we are struggling with in our culture, you know, accepting how God has created us. God created us man and woman. It wasn't a mistake. He did that for a reason. And we are different. We're not exactly the same. And that's okay. It really is. And so Paul says a few things to these believers, not just men, but I want to address it to you men. The first thing he says is be on your guard. And literally, when it says be on your guard, it really says watch yourself. Watch yourself. And what I think that means is that you and I as men are often our own worst enemies. We're often our own worst enemies. And we need to be alert. We need to be on our guard. We need to watch ourselves. You know, there was an old sitcom where one of the characters used to say, whenever he was caught doing something that he wasn't supposed to do, he would always say, well, the devil made me do it. And that was kind of his standard excuse for everything, right? Felt that, you know, okay, the devil made me do it so I can get away with that. And, you know, it is true. In Scripture, we do read that we are in a spiritual battle. And so Paul himself says that we, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against spiritual powers in the heavenly realm. So that is a reality. And there is an enemy who wants to tempt us and who wants to lead us astray and to prevent us from living as godly men and women. That is reality. And we need to be aware of that and on the alert for that. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the full armor of God so that we can stand. So that is true. But we can't just kind of excuse our behavior by saying, well, the devil made me do it, or she made me do it, or he made me do it, or, you know, I was forced to do it. And I think it's a trap that men fall into often. We don't want to take responsibility. We want to blame someone else or something else for the ways that we act. So the word this morning is to you, men, is that you need to be alert, to watch yourself. Because you are often your own worst enemy. Nobody else, just yourself. You're often your own worst enemy. Watch yourself. Be alert. Recognize the times and the places and the situations that temptation tends to overcome you. And you probably know those things. The situations or the people that you're around, the things that you do that tend to lead you off in the wrong direction. You know those things, right? And so maybe as you begin to recognize those weaknesses in yourself, you need to talk to someone about that and say, you know, whenever I get in this situation, whenever I'm tired, whenever I'm alone for a long time, whenever I'm in this particular situation, I tend to get myself into things that I shouldn't get myself into. I tend to look at things that I shouldn't look at. I tend to do things or say things that I shouldn't say. I need you to help me in this situation. I need you to know about this so that it's not a secret and so that someone can keep me accountable. And men, we need that. You need someone next to you who will say, you know, how are you doing about that? That circumstance, that thing, that weakness, that situation that you find yourself in. How are you responding to that? How can I help you? How can I encourage you? Someone who can ask you the hard questions. We need to be on our guard. The second thing he says is stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. So, you know, if you're going to stand firm in the faith, you have to understand what it is you're standing firm in, right? And I think that as men, it's very easy for us to coast. It's very easy for us to get passive and lackadaisical and just kind of go with the flow of what everyone else is doing and really don't engage our minds and our hearts in what really do I believe? What really does the scripture say about me and what God is calling me to do? And how can you stand firm if you really don't have a solid foundation under you? And so that's so important that you and I have that kind of solid foundation that we know and understand who God is, how he's made us, what he's created us to do, what the Word of God says. And we can't rely on that. We can't rely on our wives to do that for us. We can't rely on our siblings, our friends, the pastor, whoever. We can't rely on someone else to do that for us. You need to stand firm in the faith, because if you don't have that firm foundation, you know, we'll all kind of switch back into our default position, right? The ways that we normally do things. And as men, we feel like we've got it figured out and we can handle the situation. And so we really don't have any firm foundation of how a godly man should act in that place, in that situation. And so we just kind of slide into the default position. So stand firm in the faith. The third one is to be men of courage, or act like a man. And really what it's saying is, you know, it's kind of like as in opposition to don't be childish, right? If you're a man or you're a woman, you're grown up, don't act like a kid anymore. You know, Paul talks about it in another place. Says, you know, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So for a lot of men in the church, we need to grow up. We need to take responsibility. We need to begin no longer to act like men. It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? You know, when a 40 or 50-year-old man is acting like an 8-year-old, you know, you can see it sometimes. It's kind of embarrassing. It's not something that is very pretty. You don't want to see it. We need to act like men to grow up in our faith in God and be courageous, be strong and courageous. There is a place for courage within a man. It's how God has made us. And we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not about, you know, you don't have to look like the Rock to be a man, right? You know, if that's the case, then a lot of us are in big trouble. Because most of us don't look like that. Most of us don't have that kind of physical strength. You don't have to have all the abilities that people say that you have to have in order to be a man. You know, I often felt a little bit insignificant around some guys like some of you guys here. You can, you know, you can take apart a car and you can put it back together and it works, right? At the end of all of that. Or you can take, you know, a pile of wood and some nails and screws and you can build something that actually looks good and fits together and you can live in. You know, I've always really kind of admired and felt a little jealous of guys like that, but I'm not real mechanical. And I, you know, I get by, but I'm not real mechanical. I don't build things very often. And that's great that you could do that. But it doesn't make you a man, right? I mean, in our culture, you know, Mike Holmes, right? He's your picture of a man. He can fix anything. He can make it right. You know, your house is falling apart. He'll come in and he'll fix it all for you. That's great. It's a great talent and gift to be able to do that, but it doesn't define you as a man, right? There needs to be something more than that. It needs to be an inner courage and an inner strength that comes from God, that no matter what faces you, that you have a foundation, you have something solid to stand on. It's your relationship with God. General George Patton, who by probably all accounts was pretty well a man's man, right? He was general in the American Army in the Second World War, commanded all of the tanks, and he was a kind of hard, gruff man's man. He said this, he said, courage is just fear that has learned to say its prayers. Courage is just fear that has learned to say its prayers. And so a man is not someone who never fears, even though we don't like to admit, you know, that all of us have fears. Some of us fear our wives. Some of us fear other things in our lives. Some of us fear our friends. Some of us fear not being accepted. Some of us fear that if we stand up for Christ, that people are going to reject us or make fun of us or mock us or exclude us. And so there's many times that we give into the fear, don't we? And so even though as men we'd never admit that we're afraid of these things, we often act like we are. And we give into the fear and we won't stand up. And Paul is saying, you need to be strong and courageous. You need to draw some strength and courage from God so that you can stand. When the time of testing, when the time of trial comes, you can stand and walk in the power of His Spirit. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. And the fourth one is this, do everything in love. Almost sounds contradictory when talking about all these manly things, right? Strength and courage and firmness of faith and watching ourselves. And then he says, do everything in love. You know, it almost sounds like a contradiction, but it isn't. You know, what can happen in a man's life if you always are stressing the fact, you know, we need to be firm, we need to stand strong and be courageous, we need to act like men, we need to watch ourselves, is without that last one, you can become very rigid. And you can become an angry, self-righteous man. And you can become a person who is always very hard and harsh on other people around you, on your wife and on your children, because you're standing up as a man and you're being strong, and why aren't they? And so the last one puts it all together. In fact, you can do all those first three, and if you don't do the last one, it's absolutely useless. You can be the strongest physically. You can be the most talented. You can fix anything. You can be the most charismatic, best-looking guy out there. But apart from love, it is absolutely worthless. Apart from love, it's absolutely worthless. So to be a man's man, to be a real man, you need to learn how to love your wife if you're married. You need to know and to learn how to care for your children, to lead them, to pray for them, to treat them in a way that's not harsh and controlling, that doesn't crush their spirit. To be a man, you need to learn what it means to do what's right, even if it hurts. You know, and even if it doesn't result in an advantage to you. To be a Christian man isn't always to your advantage. Did you know that? Sometimes to do the right thing, you actually get left behind. You actually, your neighbor who doesn't have the same values, the same principles of being a godly man, may get ahead before you do because you're doing the right thing. Okay? So it's not always immediately to your advantage. But God says, do the right thing anyway. Be strong and courageous, even if it hurts. Do the right thing. Be a man. But do everything in love. And so what does it look like? If we were to back up to 1 Corinthians 13, which you likely have all heard before, it says this, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not easily angered, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That, beyond anything else, is the foundation of what it means to be a godly man. In everything, do everything in love. So those are the four things. It's really pretty simple on the surface to say those things, that we're to be on our guard, to stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. But it's not a do-it-yourself project, right? As much as we would like to be able to be on our own and fix everything without the help of anyone else, we're independent men, right? We can do it. It's not a do-it-yourself project. This is something that only can be done with the help of God. You cannot be a man of God apart from the power of God. You cannot be a man of God apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a man of God apart from God working from the inside out to create the character of Christ in you. You can't do it. And you can't do it on your own. You know, we like to be independent, right? But we need other people around us. And so you need one or two people, one or two guys who will keep you accountable, who will ask you the hard questions, who will ask you the things that sometimes make you feel uncomfortable, But because they care about you, they'll still ask those things, and they'll pray for you, and they'll encourage you to continue to grow in your walk with God as a man of God. We need people around us. We need God's power in order to accomplish it. It's not a do-it-yourself project. But God is looking for men like this. A long, long time ago, John Wesley talked about, you know, he said, "Give me 100 men who hate nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I can change the world. You know, I can tear down Satan's kingdom and build up God's kingdom. Just give me 100 men. Doesn't matter if they're pastors or missionaries or lay people. Doesn't matter who they are. But 100 men who hate nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and we'll change the world." That's what the church is looking for. That's what God wants to do in your life. And by his power and your willingness to do these things, he will do it. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you love us deeply and that you desire to do some amazing things in and through us. We thank you, Lord, for each man who's represented in this room, each man who's part of our congregation. And we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to be at work in their lives, for them to turn away from the things that are damaging them, the instances where we're our own worst enemies. And Father, to turn to you and to follow you with all of our hearts and to allow you by your Spirit to transform us from the inside out and to use us in our homes with our wives and children, with our children, with our friends and neighbors, the people we work with, as man of God, to change the world. We pray in Jesus' name.